Hello and welcome to the Go Gamecocks podcast, your go-to source for a quick and informative look into the state of South Carolina athletics, presented by the state newspaper. I am your host, Greg Hadley, and I am joined by my coworker, Ben Briner, and we are breaking down the biggest storylines going on around South Carolina right now. Let's start with South Carolina's 24-7 win over Kentucky this past Saturday. Ben, big picture, how important was it for the Gamecocks to get this win?
Extremely. I'm just going to keep saying the word extremely over and over because, yeah, if they'd lost this one, it would have gotten real dicey. And by winning this, they put themselves in a position that if they could, you know, overcome two very bad SEC teams from the state of Tennessee and, you know, hold serve against App State, they could get to 5 wins. Is that a big accomplishment? Nope. But considering most of the projections in the preseason were lucky to get to 8, most likely 7 or 6, getting to 5 at least keeps some of the wolves at bay. Not the really crazy ones, but it keeps you probably squarely out of the coach firing territory.
And the Gamecocks looked pretty impressive in that win, especially in the run game. Senior running backs Tavian Feaster and Rico Dowdle both went for over 100 yards. What do you think allowed them to do so well, Ben?
I think South Carolina really kind of committed a little extra to the run. Probably helped they were playing Kentucky, which I don't think is that strong of a run defense this year. But it seemed like in a lot of moments they were just running harder. Schematically, there were maybe a few tweaks. But I think overall, you had players playing better. They were running with more force, more urgency. And I think that could be something that carries a little bit forward. We'll kind of have to see on that. But I think that you just had a little bit more commitment to the run, maybe a little bit less in terms of RPOs.
And on the other side of it, the run defense was particularly impressive. I think Kentucky's a team that's known for running the ball over the past few years, but the Gamecocks really shut them down. Again, you mentioned some schematic tweaks. What did they do to really hold the Wildcats in check?
Well, defensively, they did a lot in terms of playing 3 linebackers, going with a little bit heavier of a personnel set. A lot of the times against Kentucky, that can be tricky because they'll try to isolate slot receiver Lynn Bowden on Sherrod Green in this case, but it didn't seem like that hurt them so much. It meant that South Carolina had to kind of tweak their secondary, put more safeties out there, have kind of heavier run boxes, but that ultimately worked out, in part because I think Sawyer Smith has a bum shoulder and was just not very good. But I also think that Green is playing well, and Muschamp, after the game, when asked about it, basically said Green's playing better than the defensive backs who would have been playing instead of him. So I think that says a little something about kind of where things are, and I think it could be interesting to see how much they can play this forward depending on who they end up matching up with.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the secondary and Kentucky quarterback Sawyer Smith. I think he averaged less than 3 yards per passing attempt in this game. How much do you think was that the injury that you mentioned, and how much was the secondary playing better? Because they really struggled against Alabama and did better against Missouri.
I think it's kind of a blend. I think I'd probably give maybe a little more credit to the secondary. I thought Jamie Robinson played very well. I thought J.C. Horn played pretty well. I thought Israel Mukwamu, maybe there were a few ups and downs, but I think he overall was better than he had been. And yeah, I think that group, they just took a step forward. Now, it'll be different when they play a team like a Georgia or a Clemson who can put a lot more pressure on them than, you know, Sawyer Smith with a possibly bum shoulder. But I think that group took a little bit of a step forward.
And for our Ryan Helinski update, the freshman quarterback gets his first SEC win. What do you think he did well? Obviously, he wasn't a huge factor, didn't throw for any touchdowns, but what did you see from him?
I think he did a good job of taking what was there. I think he did a good job of placing screen passes in the right place. On some of those rollouts, he did particularly well. I think there was an early one where he had a really tight window to Shai Smith, and he put the ball in that exact right spot for Smith to go get it. There were some downs. Most notably, he kept getting pressured and hit a lot. Some of that's going to happen when you're going against a Kentucky defense that tends to build good edge rushers. And he also had a true freshman in his first start at right tackle, which, you know, that actually could have gone a lot worse than it ended up going. So I think he had a solid game. The numbers were not particularly impressive, but I think those belie a little bit kind of how well he did.
All right, so we don't have a game to preview this week because the Gamecocks have an open week. But let's take a look back at these first 5 weeks of the season. It's been an odd season for the South Carolina, I would say. You know, a lot of ups and downs. Let's recap it. First of all, what are your overall impressions of this team, or can you even have any?
Well, looking back on this, I think this season probably has had a season full of drama in the first month. flat out. I think that there have been enough weird moments where Gamecocks fans get scrambling to their Twitters to ask what is going on, and literally I looked back on this, and you could argue the most normal week that they've had was the Alabama week, when they spent most of the time looking back at the 2010 game and, you know, thinking about what Ryan Helinski would look like against the number two team in the country. I mean, you go from basically running out of tight ends before the season even started to the whole Nick Muse saga, to Jake Bentley getting hurt, to Ryan Helinski's elbow getting hurt right before a big road game, to Jamias Williams transferring, to Dakarian Joyner having to sit out the last game. There's just been a lot of drama, so you almost wonder if the second half of the year might get balanced out just a little bit and give us some level of normalcy. Or it'll just be, you know, two more months of insanity. We could have that too.
A nonstop thrill ride. In these first 5 weeks, who have you been most impressed with on the offensive side of the ball?
Based on what I kind of thought they'd be able to do before the season, I have been unbelievably impressed with Kyle Markway. He came in and he seemed like one of those dudes who was just going to be a solid blocking tight end. He'd catch a few passes here and there. If the defense blew a coverage, he'd get a touchdown. I didn't see a super high ceiling for him. And right now, he is sitting at 172 receiving yards. He's the number three pass catcher on this team. He's outpaced a bunch of young receivers that we thought might be decent. He had to step in for Keel Pollard, whose career ended because of a spinal thing. The first game, the number two tight end was a former offensive lineman. And he's done really well. I've been just super impressed with him. On the other side of the ball, Ernest Jones has been pretty impressive in terms of stepping in as a starter, taking the job, in essence, from Sherrod Green, even though he didn't quite positionally replace him. He's been out there, and he's been pretty good. He's leading the team in tackles. He had a very nice interception. There have been some freshman moments. And actually, I'd give a lot of credit as well to Javon Kinlaw, because he came in with a lot of hype. And, you know, off seasons are about building hype. Regular seasons are about sort of trying to deliver on that. And, you know, Jake Bentley had a lot of hype in the offseason. He had one bad game and he's gone. Brian Edwards had a lot of hype in the offseason. He's been pretty good at points, but not necessarily dominant. These things, you know, they can kind of go up and down. But Javon Kinlaw has just been good. Like, he is pushing the pocket. He is leading the SEC in sacks. He is contending for All-American honors. And for a guy that, you know, some thought with the right season could be a first-round pick, that's kind of what you want to see, but not necessarily what you always get.
Yeah, and then on the opposite side of it, the Gamecocks are 2-3. What do you think they need to do better over the course of the second half of the season, and what players do you think especially need to step up?
I think they need a little more pop in the passing game, and they need more consistency on defense. We've seen spots on their defense when they're making those tackles, when they're really sticking guys, and they need to do that consistently against some of the better teams on the schedule, not just Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and maybe Appalachian State. They need to be consistent defensively against them, and they need to be able to put up a fair amount of resistance against a Florida team and a Texas A&M team that will want to lean on them a little bit. In terms of offense, just kind of need more pop. Ryan Linsky's had moments, but he's still, you know, rolling with a passer rating of 121, which is not super ideal. Brian Edwards and Shai Smith have had, again, moments as, you know, big-time playmakers, but it hasn't been super consistent. And if they can get a little bit more out of that and the running game doesn't crater, I think they could be in some good shape to, you know, maybe chase a bowl. That's going to be a tall task, but they kind of got to do it. In terms of, I kind of mentioned those receivers got to step up a little bit more, and Jalen Nichols, the freshman offensive tackle, has to step up more because a lot will be asked of him up until Dylan Wanham comes back. On the other side, I think they might even need more from those corners, because I think those corners have the ability to be very good. Maybe not best in the SEC good, but in the conversation to get mentioned. And thus far, they've been above average, but not much beyond that. There hasn't been that super high-level play on the outside just yet, that kind of build your defense around it level play. And I think that those two still have the ability to get there.
I think one of the major themes through these first 5 weeks has been consistency, or lack thereof, from this team. So how can the Gamecocks go through this bye week and still build on that Kentucky game? I think it's almost been like we've seen a different team every week. How is that coachable? How is that something you can carry through?
I think a lot of that's focus. A lot of that's kind of getting the players to say, you did these things well in this game. Focus on those things. Now, you know, maybe if they lost, you could have kind of a drill sergeant type 2 weeks, but that might hurt team morale. I think it can't hurt to sort of emphasize the good, hammer that, do the fixing, try to get a team to be, you know, do the same things all the time, which isn't super easy, but I think they kind of have to focus on that. And the downside is that it might not show when they come back, because if Georgia wants to put a hurting on teams, it will almost assuredly put a hurting on teams. So you might need Georgia to, you know, feel a little groggy in that early game to kind of settle things in.
Hey there. Like what you hear? Good news. You can help ensure the state continues making journalism you love to read, watch, and listen to. If you're more into sports than news, you'd probably like our Sports Pass membership, which gives you access to unlimited sports coverage for just $30 for the first year. Subscribe to Sports Pass at thestate.com/sportspass. You can also read more Gamecocks news by downloading the Go Gamecocks app or by signing up for our newsletter at thestate.com/newsletters. Thanks for supporting local journalism. Now, back to today's episode.
And looking at something other than football for a change.
Wait, there's something other than football?
Yeah, they do that around here.
Wow.
Men's basketball opens practice on Monday, and the women's basketball opens on Tuesday. Both of these teams are entering the season with a fair bit of hype. On the men's side, there's talk about this team finally getting back to the tournament. You've got a very strong sophomore in A.J. Lawson. You've got a returner in Justin Manaya, who was hurt all last year, but a lot was expected of him going into the year. This could be a very interesting team.
Yeah, well, we'll probably have Andrew in to discuss this a little bit more, maybe on the next podcast, hopefully on the next podcast. But from my vantage point, this is a team that has a lot of interesting backfield and wing pieces. J.R. Bolden has gotten the sort of, maybe at this point it's kind of the dreaded offseason hype, based on how some things have gone for some transfers for this program of late. But they'll have perimeter guys, they'll have a lot of them, and they should have, to a degree, a level of perimeter quality. It's kind of a guards game, and I think, you know, if you can be solid enough in the SEC and it doesn't turn into the meat grinder that it was a few years back, you'll probably be in good position to win enough games to kind of get in there. I mean, they've got some decent prove-it chances in the non-conference. Front court's a little dicey because you got a lot of young guys. You don't totally know where they're sitting. And you got your grad transfer. He might be good. Who knows? And you've got Mike Kotsar, who you're on year three of sort of waiting for him to deliver really consistent play. So front court could be a question. But I think if they can get 4 to 5 of those outside guys to hit, you could have something pretty interesting. Term runs are always hard to predict. But I think at the very least, it'll be a fun and interesting season, and might not have kind of the weirdness that the last two seasons have had, where you had a good start against a bad schedule and you didn't really know what you had, and then last year you had a bad start against a really good schedule and then all of a sudden the team started playing better. So Andrew will hopefully be on to eventually clarify even more of this for us. And what are you kind of seeing in terms of the build-up to the women's season? Because it seems like this year with the big recruiting class and all that could have its a really different flavor from the past few.
I think this team, the identity has just changed almost completely from last year's team. You know, they lost a fair amount in transfers, and they add 5 freshmen, 4 5-stars, and this seems to be a very influential class in terms of informing the culture of the team. It'll be interesting to see how quickly they can contribute. I think in the early rankings, the preseason rankings, people have really been kind of basing that off the expectations that these freshmen can come in and play a lot really well right away. And they obviously have the talent to do so, but freshmen are, as we've mentioned before in other sports, very inconsistent. So you'll have to see, but I wouldn't bet against Dawn Staley. And I think it will be a very exciting year for them. Final Four might be a bit of a stretch, but they definitely seem like they're in strong position to make yet another Sweet 16. All right, that's all the time we have for now. We'll be back to recap the off week and get more updates on the basketball teams, so stay tuned and be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.